Well, it's good to see you this evening, and I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew 26. Let's read this passage of Scripture. Have a word of prayer. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. But this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening, we are so thankful for this blessed time to be able to come together and to consider your word, read your word, hear your word. Lord, I pray, would you bless it to our understanding? Teach us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the word to the comfort and salvation of your people. For Christ's sake, amen. In Matthew 26, verses 26 to 32, now I was reading, going over these passages this morning, and passages that also support and clarify our Lord's words, my heart was drawn to consider six things that are set forth in this beautiful passage, and I've entitled this message based on those six things, the preaching of the Lord's Supper. Now, these six things that I want to bring forth, they're not set forth in order. As I was looking at them, I began to think, trying to set forth an order of these six things. And I thought, well, how can you set forth something that would be more or less important than the other truths concerning our Lord? So I want to set these truths forth from this passage of Scripture and some out of Luke 22. And I want us to consider, what does the Lord's Supper, what did He preach when we began the partaking of this Lord's Supper with His disciples? What was He setting forth? Well, here's the first thing that I know that the Lord's Supper preaches, commands. It exhorts us to obedience to Him. Matthew 26, 26 and 27, the Scripture says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' He took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it.'" In fact, in Luke 22:19, concerning the Lord's Supper, He said, "This do in remembrance of me." Now, Mr. Webster, I looked up the word obedience. And this is what it says. Submission to the control and command, and command of authority. Submission to the control and command of authority. But now, what does the Lord have to say concerning this thing of obedience? Let me read this for you out of 1 Samuel 15:22. Now, this was when Samuel, the prophet Samuel, was talking to King Saul. He had given him instruction. When he went into this place, they were going to do some battle, and he gave instruction to Saul, and he said, I want you to go in and destroy everything. Everything. Well, whenever he got there, and Samuel was talking to Saul, and all of a sudden he heard some goats, sheep, and background there, the bleeding. He said, what's that I hear in the background? Oh, Saul said, well, I kept, you know, the people wanted me to keep some of these finer animals, you know, for sacrifices, and, you know. And of course, he didn't kill the king either. He kept him as a, you know, Samuel went in there and took a sword and killed that king, you know. And this is what Samuel had to say to Saul. 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Disobedience was the sin of Adam and the death of mankind. The Lord had told Adam, you can eat of all the fruit, of all the trees that's in the garden, except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat of that tree, you're going to die. In the day that you disobey me, in the day that you take of the fruit, you're going to die. Dying, you shall die. Now, our Lord gave this conclusion concerning His people. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Obedience. 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 Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Now, let me ask you this question. Is it necessary for a believer to partake of the Lord's Supper? The answer is yes. The Lord commanded it. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Take, eat, take, drink. Here's the second truth that is set forth in the taking of the Lord's Supper. This supper sets forth and deals with the remembrance of Christ. In Luke 22, I'll read this for you. If you want to turn there, you can. Luke 22:19. This is what the Scripture has to say. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, we're not here tonight to remember our faith. We're not here to remember our baptism or our years of ministry. We're not here to glory in any work that we've done. We're not here to give ourselves any kind of a pat on the back because of the time that we've spent sitting under the gospel of God's grace and believing and looking to ourselves and thinking of ourselves as being something that we're not. We're coming tonight to do one thing, to remember Him. Now, I know that in the remembrance of our Lord, it's more than just a mental recollection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said before, the demons recollect that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The demons, the Scripture says, believe. And they're not saved. They know. They consider. They remember. But we're here to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith in Him. Without believing Christ. We remember. Now, this is what we remember. And I would never exhaust this list. I'll just start the list and we'll just have to stop. Because we would never exhaust what we remember of the Lord. This do in remembrance of me. How about this? How about that He was the one in whom we were chosen before the foundation of the world? How about if we remember that He was the one that was ever before the Father? That the Father delighted in Him and He in the Father. That He was ever before Him as one brought up with Him. How about if we remember that He was the one that the Father first trusted in? How about if we remember that He was the one in whom and because of whom we were justified before the foundation of the world? Now, here again, remember justification. The declaration of innocence. The declaration, no guilt. Justified freely by His grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, it was He that came into this world and walked before Almighty God. And we, the elect, in Him. Now, consider this. Being chosen in Him, we've always been in Him. There's never been a time that the Father did not consider us in the Lord Jesus Christ. As He walked in this earth, we in Him obeyed God. When He went to the cross, Paul said, I was crucified with Him. And if Paul was, all of God's elect were crucified with Christ. It was in Him that the believer died. In a substitute, Christ Himself, by His Holy Spirit, regenerates His people to the newness of life. He is our husband. The husband who has eternally been betrothed to His people. He's our Lord. He's our King. He is the prophet from God to His people. God is going to speak to His people. And He speaks one way, in the Word Himself. The only way. It's a miracle of God's grace that we're sitting here tonight and God is speaking to His people. You think about this. Christ the Word is tonight speaking through His Word, using a preacher, a mouthpiece. We beseech you, brethren, in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Here we are this evening, that Almighty God would not be silent to His people, and He tells them the truth. He tells them of Himself. He tells them of Christ Himself. Christ preaches Himself. Just as surely as in the Old Testament, when the prophets were sent to the nation of Israel, God sent prophets to Israel. He sent prophets to no one else. God was not silent to His people. Now you remember Him. Remember Him who is our priest. There is a priest right now who ever liveth. The Lord Jesus Christ. The man, Christ Jesus. The very one that walked on this earth. The very one, Carl, that stood on that seashore after He was risen from the dead. And they looked at Him and one of the disciples says, that's the Lord. And Peter jumped in the water, swam to Him, went over there. And there the Lord had some fish. He was cooking them. And there he was. He conversed with them. He said, touch me. It's the Spirit. I'm not Spirit. Touch me. Feel these. Well, touch my hand. Touch my side. Thomas, touch me. That Jesus, that Lord Jesus Christ, the one that had a body prepared him and ascended into heaven, the very one that walked this earth, that hung on the cross, that was buried, that was raised, right now, Christ Jesus the Lord is ever living to make intercession for His people. Right now, pleading Himself, pleading His merit, and we're accepted in the Beloved. Remember me. He is our righteousness. He is our representative before God. And very soon, He's going to come back. The Scripture says, we're going to see Him. He's going to receive us. We which are alive and remain on this earth are not going to prevent those that have died in the faith. God's people, wherever they are, every Adam that was ever any part of the body of every man, believers and unbelievers, are going to be brought back and they're going to be raised. That body is going to be raised. For God's people, it was sown in corruption, it's going to be raised in incorruption. It was sown a vile body, it's going to be raised in glory. And we're going to be raised from the dead. That's a resurrection. It is the raising of the same body that was put in the ground. This flesh right here, that flesh, that hand, this nose right here is coming out of the ground. This same body. Now, I can't explain all the... I don't know. We were talking the other night about how old do you think we'll be. I don't know. I've got a speculation, but that's all that is, so I just leave it to myself. But this same body changed. This body is going to be changed. We'll all be changed. And when the people that knew the Lord looked at Him, I know that Mary was confused when she first saw the Lord. Thought He was the gardener. But let me tell you something. Those disciples that were in that boat I was just talking about, when the Lord came walking out, one of them looked at Him and said, "That's the Lord! That's the Lord right there!" Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Moses and Elijah. Never met them before. That's Moses and Elijah. How do they know that? They knew. This body is going to be changed. This flesh, this corruption, this body that is dying, that is frail, is getting weaker, it's going to be changed and raised. And we're going to see Him meet us in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What does this Lord's Supper preach? It preaches Him. This do in remembrance of me. Number three, this supper has to do with comfort. Comfort. Matthew 26. He had been telling them, he told them, he said, "This is my body. Take a piece of bread." It's just a piece of bread. That's all it is. It's just flour and water. But it's a symbol. He said, "This is my body. A body broken for you. This wine is my blood shed for you." What He was telling them was this: I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to shed my blood. My body is going to be broken. But then He told them something in verse 32, Matthew 26, 32. He said, "But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Now don't you know that those words were words of comfort? The Lord had just told them that He was going to die, and now He's knowing that they're going to need some comfort. They've been with Him now over 3 years. John 14, 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, you believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 2. chapter 14. I go to prepare. I go to the cross to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back. I'm coming back. When I'm risen, I'll meet you in Galilee. He knew that he was going to be slain and the sheep were going to be scattered. But in his words of comfort, his disciples were assured, I go now, but I will return. And we believe that. We believe as sure as we're sitting here, more sure than we're sitting here, that we're going to see him. We're going to see him. Number four, this ordinance declares the communion and the unity of God's people. Now, I read verses 26 to 32 in Matthew 26. I'm going to read them one more time, but I'm going to emphasize something here. Matthew 26, 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples. And he said, take ye, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. I want you to notice how many times our Lord emphasized you, them, they. The Lord's Supper is for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who trust Him as He is set forth to be the Redeemer of God's sheep, God's elect, and the righteousness of God's elect. Believers are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they love each other, and they love company with each other in Him. I'm telling you, there is a knitting between believers. Now, I've got acquaintances. I've got some acquaintances, and there's some folks that I like them. I'm not saying that, Gary, I don't like. But I can't bear my heart to them. I can't share with them things of eternity because they just don't. They don't know. They don't understand. I can't just let myself go with them. I want you to turn to Acts 2. Acts 2:42. This is the way a believer. This is the way believers act right here. Now this is how it is. But our Lord was speaking to those disciples when he was talking about the. Notice how he was talking to them. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine? 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Look at 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Our Lord said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Believers love each other. They love each other. They have respect for one another. They love. They love them. They love the Lord that loves them. The Lord's shown them grace. What is it? The Lord was eating of His supper with His disciples. This is my body. Given for who? For you. For you. Was He dying for the Assyrians? No. Unless there was an elect among the Assyrians. The Ethiopians, I know of one. But for those disciples. And there was a devil among them. Did He die for Judas? Mm-mm. I laid down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. The preaching of the Lord's Supper has to do with the communion of God's people. We're here tonight to eat and drink together. Believers. Believers. Number five. This supper declares particular redemption. In Luke 22:19, this is my body which is given for you. Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament was shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Now, I saw something today, and I just have to just bear with me. Somebody, you know, everybody here that knows him is going to say, well, Marvin, I knew that. I mean, I can't believe you just didn't realize it. I've read that passage of Scripture so many times, and it just glazed over till this afternoon. And to give His life a ransom for many. Now, I read just a little bit on a ransom, on the ransom. Here's what a ransom is. It's the price of redemption. And here's another thing about the ransom. When the ransom is paid, freedom, liberty is assured. It's not an offer. It's sure. When the ransom is paid, the ransom is paid. The one that is ransomed is free. He's free. What's it going to cost? Here's the ransom, the blood, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life for the price of redemption. For many, that price paid their debt, and they are free in Him. One might ask, well, why do you make such a big deal out of particular redemption? Why do you make such a big deal out of the Lord paying the price for only His sheep? Well, I'll tell you, first reason is because He declared it. John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, I know what the natural man thinks. I know what he thinks. I understand this so easily. I can understand this. If He laid down His life only for the sheep, And he died for no one but the sheep, which is what he said he did. He said that's what he did. So that settled it. But let me tell you what is implied. If you don't believe that, either he died for everybody, Chuck, or he died only for his people. Now you know that's so. Either he died for everybody or he died for only his people. Now, if he died in a universal redemption, he died and he laid down his life to make salvation possible. He paid the debt of everybody's sin. Now, okay, he's done everything. He's done everything that he could. Right. I mean, what is he going to do? If he died universally for everybody's sin, then that means, and you have to admit this, I mean, this common sense now is going to take over here. Then that means that salvation is dependent upon what man does with it. Now you know that's so. If he died for everybody to make salvation possible, then it's left up to man to make a decision on what he's going to do with what Christ has offered. The Scripture says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." John 1:13 said, "We're born not of the will of the flesh, but of God." So, if His blood was shed for all, without exception, and He paid the debt, and one person perishes, then His blood was a failure, and we dishonor Him in believing that. Because He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." Particular redemption is the very declaration that Almighty God will not fail. He will not fail. He will not fail. And salvation is not based on a man's work and choice and will on what he's going to do. And sixthly, this supper gives us great reason for thankfulness toward Him. Luke 22:19, He took bread, He gave thanks. Verse 20 says, "Likewise also the cup." He blessed the bread and the wine, giving thanks unto the Father for those that He would redeem. He thanked the Lord that He would lay down His life, set His face like a flint to the cross, buying His people, paying their debt, paying the price. Now as we eat and drink of the bread and wine tonight, how thankful that we ought to be that, number one, we remember Him. That we're here together in communion. And that what He did effectually. Did it on purpose. Got the job done. And now He's calling out His sheep. Now let me tell you what's going to happen. All that the Father has given Him, they're going to hear this message. And the Spirit of God is going to give them a heart to believe this. And Almighty God is going to give them a new will. Make them willing in the day of His power. And they're going to come to Him by faith. Walking down the aisle, like I said here, the only difference between me and you is just a few feet. Oh, not that I wouldn't gladly talk to you. And, you know, somebody wants to confess the Lord in baptism. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, walking down the aisle is not coming to Christ. Coming to Christ in the heart. Lord willing, I'm planning to go to Brother Tom Harding's tomorrow. I'll be 5 hours away from home. And I tell you this, every time I think about my wife, I come to her that quickly. Every time I think, oh God. God's people come to Him and come to Him and come to Him. To whom coming? He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Let's remember the Lord in the partaking of these elements tonight.